Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Adam Bailey, an Alexander Technique teacher in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Maynard, Massachusetts, and also he teaches regularly in Amherst, New Hampshire. He has some 20 years experience with the technique, about 14 of those as a teacher. Adam has a couple of areas of specialization. One is working with athletes, and we've done an interview on that topic. But his other area of specialization is the Alexander Technique and Psychological Growth. Adam has a master's degree in counseling psychology from the Harvard Graduate School of Education. And for 10 years, he's taught psychology at both the college and high school levels. And he has a fair amount of experience in working with the Alexander Technique to facilitate psychological growth. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Adam, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me, Robert.
Could you begin by giving our listeners a very short description of the Alexander Technique?
Yes. First of all, the Alexander Technique involves a learning process. So when someone comes to see me, we refer to them as a student, and I'm the teacher, so to speak. So I teach the student a set of skills that they can apply in all of their activities and that they can develop on their own once they've learned them. And the skills basically have to do with addressing areas of muscle tension that have built up over the years, and at the same time improving the alignment of their head, neck, and back. And again, the beauty of the Alexander Technique is that it doesn't involve treatments. And so what that means is that once the student has learned the skills, she can practice them on her own and doesn't have to come to me for any treatment or what have you. So there's a real benefit there that once she has the skills, they're hers to practice as she wishes in her life.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the obvious question might be, how does a method, an educational method that helps people improve how they function on a physical level, how does that relate to psychological growth?
Well, that's an interesting question and one that I've explored quite a bit. Alexander teachers in general talk about the Alexander Technique as being a mind-body discipline. And that made a lot of sense to me from the beginning. But as I progressed with the technique, I made a discovery that was quite surprising along those lines. I made a discovery about the ways in which the Alexander Technique is a mind-body discipline. It helps us on both levels. And the discovery I'm talking about has to do with a psychological process that took place when I was studying the Alexander Technique. When I was 22 years old, my father died suddenly. And for a long time, I didn't have a lot of feelings about that, but I became depressed. Over a number of years, I was chronically depressed. And then when I started taking Alexander lessons, one of the things that I was learning in that process was I was learning how to release areas of muscle tension that had built up over the years. And now here's the discovery that was surprising. As I began to release those areas of muscle tension, feelings of grief started to emerge about my father's death. And so what I learned kind of through that practical process was that muscle tension, in part for some people, not for everyone, but certainly for me, one of the reasons it builds up is that if we're not expressing emotions that have happened, that have built up over in response to something that's happened that was traumatic. And if we don't express feelings about whatever it was that happened that was traumatic, then those feelings go into our body in the form of muscle tension.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I'm sure you're familiar with the work of Reichian psychoanalysis.
Yes.
What was this? Wilhelm Reich, I think. He was a well-known disciple
of Freud.
Yeah, he was a disciple of Freud. And he talked a lot about body armoring.
Yes.
And I've never had any direct experience with that work, but from his description of it, it sure sounds exactly what you've just been talking about, that we tend to kind of hold, when we're holding an emotion in your case, grief, we're also physically holding ourselves.
Yes.
Tightly, and restricting movement and restricting breathing and so forth.
Yeah, and that was my experience, although I didn't realize it at the time. I had what Reich calls body armoring, or what we in the Alexander Technique call habits. Mm-hmm. That is to say, patterns of tension, kind of habitual ways in which I was holding myself physically. And what I didn't realize at the time was that they had a psychological component. They were, those patterns of tension were also holding feelings of grief. And then, as I said before, when I started to release the armoring, when I started to reduce those areas of muscle tension, those feelings of grief bubbled up. And then I went into psychotherapy to deal with the grief, and I continued with the Alexander lessons. And now the process took some years to work through, but the good news was, by the end of that time, once I had reduced the armoring, the physical tension, and addressed the feelings that were associated with it, then the depression lifted.
Mm-hmm. And now, yeah, your own background, apart from being an Alexander teacher, is in counseling psychology. So
yes.
If someone is coming to you for Alexander lessons and they release some armoring or some tension, and out comes the feelings that they've been repressing, do you work with them with those feelings, or do you have them go to somebody else to do that?
Well, I actually do work with those feelings. Many Alexander teachers would refer the person to a psychotherapist because they wouldn't be comfortable delving into that area.
Mm-hmm.
But since I have training, I did graduate work and I did a number of other trainings, I'm comfortable dealing with that. So mm-hmm. Basically what happened was, after I had taken Alexander lessons and gone into psychotherapy, the process had such a positive outcome, both of those processes had such a positive outcome, that I decided to train as an Alexander teacher and do graduate work in psychology. And then when I started teaching, I decided that I wanted to offer, so to speak, one-stop shopping. So if somebody was taking Alexander lessons and feelings came up as a result of the process, I would be, you know, able to deal with both things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the most important thing to say about that is, I very often teach Alexander lessons where there's no emotional aspect. And if the person doesn't bring that up, then I don't bring it up. I only go into that area, the psychological area, if the student specifically asks for it.
Right. We don't want to give our listeners the impression that these sort of emotional issues come up commonly in the Alexander work. I'd say probably not in most cases. And the other thing I think we need to be really clear about is that most Alexander Technique teachers do not have training in counseling or psychology,
right,
and the like. Now, And as you say, most Alexander Technique teachers are certainly not going to want to work with a student in those areas. They're not qualified, and it's just,
right,
really not part of our training. But I also think that most Alexander Technique teachers have are are qualified to recognize when that's an issue, for sure, and are qualified and are, you know, often have a referral network that they can use to guide a student to an appropriate professional. But I think it's really important that we make clear Alexander teachers are teachers. We're not therapists. We're not, for the most part, trained in other specific skills.
Right.
So, yeah. And Ian, there's another thing I would like to add to what you said about not an opposite example, but a different kind of example from the one from your own experience, which is that when I first started taking Alexander lessons, very early on in the process, I attended a workshop. I went to England, actually, to kind of check out the Alexander scene there. And I attended a five-day workshop in the country with a number of teachers. And I can still remember to this day, after a couple of days walking along these little English laneways, it was in the summer, it was beautiful weather, and feeling happier than I had ever remembered feeling before. And I could only attribute it to, it was a fairly intense Alexander experience that I didn't, as far as I know, I wasn't repressing something so much, but maybe subtly preventing happiness from happening. Have you had that experience with students of yours?
Definitely. I think that when we change our physical state and for the better, it also affects our emotional state because our mind and body are so closely related. And, you know, the way my own experience echoes that in a way. As I said before, I was chronically depressed before I discovered the Alexander technique. And what I discovered during my Alexander lessons was not only that there were feelings associated with my muscle tension, but also that my muscle tension represented a subtle collapse. And that collapse was the physical aspect of my depression. Now, and what the Alexander technique did for me was it helped me undo the collapse and come into a more positive alignment of my head, neck, and back. And then when that happened over the years, I felt much better. I had many times where I had a wonderful feeling of well-being, just as you describe, and the depression lifted. In other words, I think the way to say it is, if we're in a positive physical state where our head, neck, and back are aligned in a positive way, we can't be unhappy because the physical state is one that's more positive. It's happier.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I think just thinking about the word depression, someone says, well, I'm feeling depressed or I have chronic depression. That's a physical term as well, and I would guess, I don't know the origins of the medical use of that term, but I would guess that at some level, whoever started using that phrase the way it's typically used today was aware of the physical correlate of it.
Yeah.
So that's I think the nice thing about the Alexander technique is that it deals with that on a physical level, which is right there for both the teacher and the student to observe.
Yes.
And they're able to observe it if they want to, fairly unemotionally.
Yes.
You know, it's just I'm pulling myself down or I'm not pulling myself down. I'm restricting my breathing or I'm not restricting my breathing. And so it can be dealt with in kind of a non-threatening way, I guess you could say, or a non it sort of simplifies things a bit.
Is how I
look at it.
That's right. There's a wonderful paradox because the Alexander technique is so simple and so practical, and it focuses on our physical alignment. And then as we make those changes in our physical alignment, there are all these ramifications and ripple effects. and we feel better emotionally as well as physically. So by pursuing this very simple practice, lots of wonderful things start to happen.
Mm-hmm. Adam, is there anything you'd like to add before we end this podcast?
Well, just briefly, I'd love to describe a student that I worked with where mm-hmm. there were some interesting psychological changes.
Mm-hmm.
this student, when he came to me, he was married and his wife had trouble with prescription drugs. And so we not only were doing Alexander lessons every other week, but then in the off weeks, we talked about his relationship with his wife. And what he told me was that 5 years before he came for lessons, he had given his wife an ultimatum. He had said to her that if she didn't stop using prescription drugs, he was gonna leave. And then, unfortunately, his back went out, and he suffered from very serious back pain, and actually ended up having to have surgery for that. And then he came for Alexander lessons, mainly because of he still, even though he'd had surgery, he still had some back pain. So we addressed that during the Alexander lessons, and we worked a lot on the physical level, and then we also talked about his relationship with his wife. And then after he had a series of Alexander lessons, he ultimately was able to follow through on the ultimatum that he'd given to his wife, because when he came for Alexander lessons, she was still using drugs, and that was still a problem. So, and what he told me was, as a result of the Alexander lessons, he felt that he could follow through on the ultimatum without hurting his back. And the way he put it is he said, "I feel as though I have a spine now."
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And both. You know, it's interesting, just to interrupt for a second, that expression, spineless or having a spine, a lot of those kinds of expressions, if you stop and think about them a little, refer to physical parts of our bodies.
Right.
And I don't think that's an accident.
Right. We say that person is a pain in the neck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there are a lot of references to stiff-necked people.
Yes.
And hardening your heart.
Yes.
That was Pharaoh's big issue. Yeah, and I think that it's not at all an accident that physical parts of our body are invoked often in describing a psychological or a mental state.
Yes. And with this student that I was describing, again, we pursued, most of what we did was just work on the Alexander technique. And I showed him how he could realign his head, neck, and spine. So it was this very simple, practical, physical process. And then his experience over time was that it changed him in an emotional way. He felt as if he had a spine, both literally and metaphorically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
well, I think that might be a good place to end our conversation today. My guest has been Adam Bailey, an Alexander Technique teacher in Cambridge and Maynard, Massachusetts. He also teaches regularly in Amherst, New Hampshire. And he has two areas of specialization. One is what we've just been talking about, psychological growth, but also he works extensively with athletes, and he has a particular expertise in skiing and horseback riding. And Adam, I assume that someone who isn't interested in any of those things can come to you for lessons as well. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
He's a general Alexander Technique teacher as well. And if anything that we've been talking about interests you or intrigues you, certainly if you're in the Cambridge, Maynard, Massachusetts, Amherst, New Hampshire areas, contact Adam. And if you're somewhere else, find a local teacher and have a few lessons. And I think that the things that we've been talking about will resonate pretty directly with you. Adam, thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome, Robert. Thank you very much for having me.